Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Armalee.
If you have not been catching this series, if you're new joining us, we say welcome, first of all, online. It's such a different world right now, and honestly, I'm tired of saying that, but it is what it is, but it's still a season full of hope. And if you've not listened to this series, I encourage you to go back, because right now we want to be strong and courageous, not because we're full of fear. Fear does want to knock on our door, but we're strong and courageous because we're full of hope. And so, if you have a chance, go back and listen. All right, it's 10:51. I got lots to say today like normal, and I want to get right to it. So Lord, we just say help, 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 so I can preach this in the fullness of what you've given me. So the title for today is called I Will Remember. We're in the series Strong and Courageous, and it's called I Will Remember. So what I'd like you to do, turn to Joshua 1, 7 and 9. This is what our scripture verse has been, Joshua 1, verses 7 to 9. And this is out of the Old Testament. We've been talking kind of around and in two scriptures and then lots of other scriptures that go with it. Real quick here, before I say it, how many can remember what I talked about 2 weeks ago? If you remember what the strong and courageous point was, mark it down. Somebody's got to remember. Pastor Rod will tell me. If he remembers, then he'll know it's correct. All right, so you wouldn't believe, actually. You know, it's funny. We've got scaffolding set up behind us or in front of us. We've got cables everywhere. We've got umbrellas. It'd be really funny to actually show a picture of this. You should take a picture because, you know, to be preaching in an atmosphere like this is so weird. We've got tools over on the left. It's really fun. All right, so my point was, Rod, what I need you to do is see if anybody remember what my point was 2 weeks ago. And if they write it in, let me know. All right, it was the key. I want to say it this way before I read it. This is kind of how I was thinking about it. Let's say that you wanted to join a basketball team. And you got on a basketball team. And then you went to practice and you didn't show up with your jersey and your shorts on or your shoes. And they're like, hey, man, we're going to play basketball. And you said, yeah, I just don't do that. Okay, well, let's get out and dribble. No, I don't do that either. Well, okay, let's take some shots. Let's do some, you know, free throws. No, I don't do that. Do you want to run? Do you want to dribble? No, I don't do that either. Okay, that's ludicrous, right? Why would you be on a basketball team and not do these things? Well, I say that because as Christians, as people of wisdom, everybody say, I have wisdom. Type it in. I have wisdom. Rod, are you walking over there to see if the answer is correct? Rod? All right. So, we have wisdom. We have wisdom. You stinker, Rod. I'm trying to stay focused today. All right, so it would be ludicrous to be on a basketball team and not show up with your jersey on for a game, not show up, you know, and say that you don't dribble, say that you don't do all this. Well, a lot of times, you know, there are keys in the body of Christ. So when I'm preaching and teaching, I want you to know that I'm not just trying to give a message. We're trying to give keys that will make you strong and courageous. Our whole thing here is that we are mighty ones. We want to be mighty ones. We are mighty ones. We want to come to a higher level of being mighty ones. And so listen, like showing up to a basketball and saying, I don't dribble. You can't. These are things you got to do. It's not like he's angry and if you don't do them, but they're keys for your strength, all right? So Joshua 1, verses 7 to 9. Did anybody get be thankful, being thankful? Well, that's that. I told him to say that one. The question is, what was my point from last week? It was be thankful. Did anybody get be thankful? Oh, my goodness. See? That's a good one. That was a good point. That was a good point. But remember, what we were going to do, we even had some calls to action, which was gratitude, being thankful, writing three things down. Yeah, good. All right. Proverbs 4, 20 to 21. Joshua. That's where we're at. Oh, my gosh. Joshua 1, 7 to 9 says, only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left that you may prosper. Everybody shout out and type out prosper wherever you go. That's what God wants for us. He wants us to be prosperous. Again, in John, he talks about 3 John. He talks about that again. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate. That's a mouth and head thing in it day and night that you may observe to do all to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous. Come on, everybody say prosperous. And then you will have good success. Look at, he says it three times. He says, I want you to be prosperous, then I'll make your way prosperous, and I want you to have good success. That's what God wants for us, all right? So if you're into doom and gloom, that's not what this message is about, all right? I have not commanded you. Have I not commanded you? So it's like he's commanding you, but telling you how to do it. So it's not like he's, you got to do this. He's like, he's a father saying, man, you got to be strong because I want to make your way prosperous. Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That is such good news. So we want to be strong and courageous. And 2 weeks ago, I talked about the fact that that word strong, really strong and courageous, is the same word that David used when they were going to stone him because they came back to the town and their enemy had taken all their wives and children, all the people that he had raised up for all those years. He had made them into mighty ones. They basically began a turn and say, we're going to stone you. And he said he went away and met with the Lord and he strengthened himself. And so what we're learning right now in this season is, how do we strengthen ourselves? So if you're going through, like a lot of people are finding themselves a little discouraged, a little depressed, a little down, you know, maybe you're finding yourself full of fear. This is what we're talking about. How do you strengthen yourself? All right, now turn, please, to Proverbs 4:20 and 23, 22:23. We've talked about this the first week. I really taught on this scripture, but I want to look at it again. It says, my son, Proverbs 4:20-21, my son, give attention to my words, incline or lean into my sayings, and do not let them depart from your eyes. We've got ears to listen, eyes to see. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. So when I was meditating on that this week, kind of going through and what I preached and thinking about it, it's interesting that word keep popped out, you know, and I've already studied it. We already talked about the word keep. The word keep is actually shamar, to guard, to protect, but it was actually the word keep. And the Lord got me thinking and brought me actually to thinking about castles. And it's interesting that castles, when they started, they created walls, but you know, like anything, things get more and more elaborate. And so what happened was they decided that they needed to keep the king or the lord safe. So they developed, in the middle of their castle, around the walls, they developed this thing called the keep. And the keep developed into the strongest thing in the castle. You know, the walls of the castle itself, you know, the around the castle were thick and they had, guards on the top of it. But the keep ended up becoming the strongest thing around. Sometimes these walls were 3 meters thick. And then they had, you know, turrets, people with the bow and arrows and all that on top. And as I was studying it, I came across this and I thought this was so amazing. It said the heart of the castle was the keep. This is where the ruling lord's residence was. Did you hear that? This was where the ruling lord's residence was. It was heavily fortified. Meetings and important decisions were made here. This was the safest place in the castle. This was the place of refuge for the ruling mind. I want you to think about this. The king, the queen, and the ruler would stay in the keep. They would stay in the most fortified place, and that's where they made the decisions. And I love this line. It says, this is where the ruling lord's residence, the ruling lord. And so when I think about the word keep, and it says keep your heart, our heart, you can't live without a heart. You know, they can put you on a bypass for a short time, but you cannot live without a heart. And this whole scripture from Proverbs is talking about keeping our heart with all diligence, because out of it flow the issues of life. And what did it say? In the keep of a castle, that's where they made the decisions. So here's a question I have for you today. And then we're going to talk about, again, how to strengthen ourselves. The question I have is, who is ruling in your heart right now? What is ruling in your heart? It said again, it said, this was the ruling Lord's residence. Is your heart being ruled right now by the Lord? And I'm not even talking about salvation. If you're watching and you don't know Jesus Christ, I want to let you know Jesus Christ changed all our lives here. Absolutely amazing. But I'm convinced that you can be saved by Jesus. You can be a Christian. You can be a disciple. And you can actually have still something in your heart that is ruling that is not godly. Now, you think right away I'm going to things of sin, pornography. I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about things like this. What about fear? Is fear ruling in your heart right now or faith? Is hope ruling in your heart or discouragement? One of those is ruling right now. And you say, maybe I go back and forth. You probably do. I think I do at times. But something has to rule. And if we want it to be the things of the kingdom, Jesus Christ, we got to look at what's operating, what's coming out of us. Is it faith or fear, hope or discouragement, joy or dread? Are you waking up every morning full of joy? Now listen, a third of the kingdom is joy. Joy, peace, and righteousness are the part of the kingdom. Joy, we're supposed to have joy because of Jesus. Is hope for the future in your heart, or is the thought that everything's going to pot and we're all going to die? Because if that's your thought process right now, that is not a kingdom thought process. If you're constantly thinking about the economy is going to crash, that is not faith. So I'm saying all this because when we take stock of what did it say? Out of the heart flow the issues of life. And so if these are the things that are ruling in your keep, in your heart, in that center place, that's your thoughts, your issues, your decisions are going to flow from that place. You know, if you go, so here's a biological thing if you want to think about it this way. If you are full of fear and you go shopping, you're going shopping with fear. Fear actually breaks down your immunity. So isn't it funny or isn't it interesting? It's not funny. Isn't it interesting how the very thing you want is a strong immunity, but if you're full of fear, if that's ruling, that's Lord right now, and that's actually trying to destroy your immunity, the very thing you need to stay strong. What about your mind? Your mind, what's your heart and your mind? Remember, I talk about it intimately connected. So the thoughts that you have are ruling with your heart. This is all going on. What are you thinking about? So I want you to look up, if you could, Josh, if you could put this one on, 2 Corinthians. I'm doing this because we have an umbrella in the way with lights. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 to 6. Again, I want to show you some powerful words. This is something that you know. Now, I'm interested in always trying to grow and always trying to get stronger. And I think it's interesting. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe intercession is so, so important. And we need to be praying. But listen, you could be in the intercessory room or praying, and you could be praying out of fear and not faith. And you may think, I'm just going to go and I'm going to war and tear down all these strongholds that are causing me to fear. Listen, I'm going to read this here, 2 Corinthians 10, 4 to 6. Sometimes before we pray, we got to do work on our heart and mind. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We don't pull out swords and kill people anymore. Thank you, Jesus. They're not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, for casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So listen, when I have a thought that does not line up with who Jesus is. You know, Jesus is full of mercy. Jesus is full of grace. Jesus is our healer and all these things. But if I start getting fear and hopelessness and dread and discouragement, I need to go to business and I need to take these things down. I need to take down these arguments that are presenting themselves higher than Jesus Christ. And so I have to go to war with those things. Take them captive, it says. Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's what I'm supposed to do with these thoughts. But a lot of times we can run around, and I've done it. Listen, I've spent days thinking about things. It's crazy how the enemy can get in. He begins to get in and tell you things and lie to you, and we need to stop and go, whoa, wait a minute, that's not God. That is not God. I need to be full of faith right now. I need to be full of faith and hope and not dread. Amen? All right. So what I want to talk about today, that was kind of like my introduction. I got time. What I want to talk about is, and I said the phrase already, you can type it in, we will remember. We will remember, all right? I got to grab something. Hold on. One of these days is going to be great. We're going to have cameramen, women that will follow me as I walk across the stage. That's going to be pretty exciting. Can they see the rock? I put it up there to let me know if they can see it. Hopefully you can see it. It's just a simple rock. Interesting, the story of Joshua we've been reading about. If you've ever read the word of Joshua, the book of Joshua, the story of Joshua, you're going to find out that as he gathered the people, to say, we're going to cross over the Jordan, the very same thing happened that happened to Moses. The sea, the river parted, and they walked across. And one of the things that, interesting enough, that God had Joshua do, he stopped him and he said, listen, I want you to go grab 12 stones. And I want you to take a stone, and the leader of every tribe, grab a stone, because you're going to go and you're going to put these stones in the river, and you're going to make a monument of remembrance. And that monument of remembrance is going to remind your children of what God did here today. And I'm telling you, it's so important right now. Even Pastor Rod had us, I think one of the days out of the gate, or the assignment he gave us was to put scriptures on our fridge and write them down. This is something that we need to learn to do, not just, and I'm going to give you a task at the end of this, not just once, but we need to learn to do this. So they basically put these stones together, and he said, when your children ask, what is that? He said, this will be a monument of remembrance, so your children will always remember what was done. I want you to turn for me. This is Joshua. I want you to turn to Judges. I'm just going to move this out of the way. So I want you to remember the stones of remembrance. Turn to Judges with me. And I want you to read a very sad part of the story of Joshua in Judges chapter 2. Because Joshua had incredible breakthrough, incredible influence. He basically went into the promised land. He did what Moses and the earlier generation could not do. He took them in, and they basically took the promised land. But here's a really sad story. I've talked about this in different ways, different parts, but Joshua 2 verse 7 says this. So the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua. And all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works, they had seen with their eyes all the great works of the Lord, which he had done for Israel. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was 110 years old. I think that would be a great way, you know, to live that long, full of life and vigor. And they buried him within the border of his inheritance of Timnath, in the mountains of Ephraim on the north side of Mount Gash. Now listen. When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord nor the work which he had done for Israel. It's crazy to me to think that he built a monument of remembrance to remind them to go, don't you remember? I split the sea, you walked across. And they forgot about it. They forgot about the stones of remembrance, and they forgot, it says the work which he had done, and they forgot. It's absolutely crazy that the next generation, we're not talking about three generations later, the next generation. You know, I think it's interesting that the ones that built the cathedrals in Europe, they took hundreds of years to build. So there are people that were building these cathedrals that had legacy in mind. They had people in mind beyond their living, that they knew that this is going to be a great cathedral and people are going to live on and great things are going to happen. And I want to ask us as a generation, are we filling our hearts right now with such remembrance of God's work because we're excited about what's next? I think so often, to be honest, church, so often we're so focused on the negative. I want to focus on what God's going to do next out of this. And in order to do that, I have to build myself up. I have to strengthen myself because there's days I get discouraged and I have to do exactly what we're talking about. I have to write things of thankfulness and I have to go and begin to go, God, you are a God of great works. You are a God that does amazing things. And so the first point I want you to get, the stones of remembrance, we need to remember the testimonies and miracles of what God did. Aren't you thankful? Like, that was such a cool testimony. It seems so simple, but for Abby and Max, the dog getting healed was not a simple thing. That saved them. What are we talking about? God wants us to prosper. Well, they just saved hundreds of dollars because God did a miracle. That's so amazing. So while I'm talking, I have an assignment for you right now to do. I want you to share one or two lines of a testimony of what God's done in your life. Don't give me a whole story. Give me one or two lines. God got me out of debt. God, just begin to write your stories of remembrance. It is so important. While you're doing that, turn to Psalm 119. I want you to read something here with me. Psalm 119, verses 111. Everything good, gentlemen, we're live, we're good, awesome. Psalm 119, verses 111. Psalm 119 is the biggest chapter in the Bible in Psalms. But 111, I want to show you something that's so cool. So you guys, go ahead, start writing your testimonies. Let me know if some start coming up. It says this. This is the figure David speaking. Psalm 119, verses 111. It says, I have inherited your testimonies forever. This is the NASB. The King James says it this way. The New King James says, your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever. NASB says, I have inherited your testimonies forever, for they are the joy of my heart. Don't you love that? It's literally saying that David looked through the word that was heard about, talked about, different things that were written, and he says, I have inherited your testimonies. So he literally is saying, I'm taking other people's testimonies as my own because why? It brings joy to my heart. Right now, we need to begin to listen to other people's testimonies. We need to begin to listen and hear what other people have had happen in their life. You need to find, if you're like, man, my finances are getting tight, you need to find someone and listen to the miracles of God in their life. Because what it does, it's going to push out, if the Lord of fear is sitting in your heart, in your keep, in your central place, and it's bombarding you, you need to get on the phone and you need to go, tell me that testimony again of when God came through with finances, because I'm getting fearful with my finances. And so what you do is you begin to dislodge that fear that's sitting there. All right. I'm just getting, if you're watching me at different times, we got like a 4-minute delay here. So I'm asking things and wondering what's happened. So good to know we got a delay, but you guys are still hearing it. So what testimony are you inheriting? You get the opportunity to inherit other people's testimonies. Why? To bring joy to your heart. All right, we're gonna do some more flipping here. I like to always show you guys with scripture. Psalm 78, if you could turn to Psalm 78 with me. Josh may or may not get some of these up. Psalm 78, I want to take you through this because such a powerful scripture. But I'm going to show you again a group of people that took the testimony and a group of people that did not take the testimony. Psalm 78, it says, give ear. I think it's so interesting, Rod, that when we read these things that we hear, ear, eyes. We got to hear it, we got to see it. We got to hear it, we got to eat it and see it. No, we got to hear it and we got to see it. Ange's just looking at me. Wasn't it great to have a drummer today, people? Oh my gosh, thanks, Ange. She was able to be here and it was beautiful. Felt like normal was coming again. You know what? And if you're worried about what the new normal is going to look like, tell yourself this. Maybe you need to write a declaration. This new normal is going to be better than the old normal. Stop thinking it's going to be. Why do we do that? Why do we always think the new normal is going to be worse? What if the new normal is better? What if the new normal is better? What if it brings restoration? We already see it. There are things happening in our atmosphere right now because of less pollution, which is amazing. What if it's going to get better? Just a thought. Give ear, O people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. Throughout scripture, again, you'll see it. This is, by the way, this is David. This is a contemplation of Asaph, but it was actually David that originally said it. It says, give ear, O my people, to the law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which you have heard and known, and your fathers have told us. And we will not hide them from their children, telling to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. This is where we begin to talk about it at our dinner tables. This is where we begin to say, hey, do you guys remember when God did this? Like, really quick testimony. I remember, Krista would remember this too. I'm going to go back and read some more. Chris would remember this when Pastor Johnny Beard was alive, and he came and he gave Caleb money. And Caleb, at a young age, already had this concept of giving. So he walked up with the money and he put it into the offering basket, like all of it. And it was amazing. It was beautiful. Then we went to Point Pelee that day or the next day. I can't remember if it was right after, like that day. And here he is. He's already given money, and it wasn't a whole lot. Caleb sits down and starts digging in the sand, and he walks up to us and he's got loonies in his hand and he says, look what I found. I'm like, where'd you get that from? He's like, I was digging and I found. He was digging treasures out of the sand at Point Pelee. It was so awesome. And I think in the end he had more money than when he started. So that's just awesome. Good testimonies coming in. Good to hear. Awesome. All right, it goes a little farther again. It says, for he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, the generation to come may know them. The generation to come may know them. The children would be born that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may, look at this line, verse 6, the very last line of verse 6, that they may set their hope in God. So this is what happens when we give testimonies and we do declarations. We set our hope. It's literally like kicking out the other Lord that's trying to rule over your heart or your keep. You kick that enemy out by taking every thought captive, and you begin to replace it with the things that need to be in there. I'm telling church, so this is called We Will Remember. One of your keys, this is actually point three, one of your keys, I won't get to it. But if you are filling your mind with the news right now and you are looking up every possible conspiracy theory out there, you are letting a different ruler come in. If you want to let the Lord of hope rule in your heart, you need to be getting into the word. You need to be listening to testimonies. You need to be looking at things and going, man, that is the truth. And you need to be letting that become the Lord of your life. Everybody say, type in, we will remember. What are testimonies that you're going to remember? That's one testimony from Caleb. We have so many in our life. Simple things. I remember I was telling somebody the other day, I went to a meeting and they were doing miracles and they said, everybody think of something you need healing for. And I thought, man, I'm doing really well. I couldn't think of anything. But the one thing I thought of at the last minute was I had warts on my feet that I could not get rid of. I didn't go there to get, it's not like I traveled to go, this is in Sarnia, this is with Tim Gibbs. I didn't travel to get rid of my warts, but it literally was like an afterthought of going, well, the only thing I can think of are warts, whatever. So Lord, I reached down while the faith was in the room, and I reached out, I said, Lord, would you take care of my warts? Totally forgot about it. 2 or 3 days later, showering, I looked down, and my warts were completely gone. The very things that I could not get rid of were completely gone. Listen, God cares about little things like our warts. I remember, Chris, remember the duct tape I used to put on my heels to try to get rid of those things? I could not get rid of them. Well, so what's the testimony? The stone of remembrance is God's a healer. It's incredible. Oh, there's so many. Oh, let's just finish this off. Look at that. So that's, telling your kids. But look at this, verse 9 of Psalm 78. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back from battle. Okay, they're carrying their bows and they turn away from battle. They did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in his law. And look it. And forgot his works and wonders that he had shown them. If you remember, I talked in Romans about giving thanks. They did not give thanks. They did not glorify. Well, now it's talking about they forgot to remember the works. And so what was the end result from not remembering the works of God? They turned away in the time of battle. So right now, if we as Christians are fearful, we will turn away from the battle. What is the battle? Honestly, I think the battle is to be full of hope right now. I think the battle is to be in prayer right now. The battle, of course, is praying for loved ones that are on the front lines, the loved ones that may have even passed away. There's prayer right now. We need prayer for Canada. We need prayer for our leaders to make godly decisions. We need prayer to make sure that there's no decisions trying to be brought in that we're not aware of. Those are real things, but you can't do it if you're full of fear. You cannot pray properly if you are full of fear, if you are full of despair, if you are depressed. You can't pray that way. You got to be full of faith. How do you get full of faith? You remember what God's done. If you can't remember any testimonies in your life, that's why I started with the fact that David took an inheritance of testimonies. He basically looked at all the other stories and went, that's a testimony. I'm taking that testimony. That's a good word, Jay. Why, thank you, Jay. You have to be your own cheerleader here. You're a great cheerleader. It is a little odd to be in here, but when there's nobody around. Okay, you talk about perspective. You know what's funny? Talking about perspective. I wasn't, but I'm going to. Talk about perspective. You know, we used to come in here and get a little discouraged. You know, if there's like 100 people in here or 75, we'd be like, man, where is everyone? So discouraged. I'm telling you, the first time we're going to have 50 people in here, it's going to be so exciting. Revival will break out with 50. Actually, revival may break out with 10. But we're going to be like, 50 people are in the house because it's perspective. All right. You guys getting this? Stones of remembrance. We do not want to be the next generation of Joshua that forgot all the things that God took them through the Jordan River dry, took them through the Red Sea with Moses. You do not want to forget the testimonies of what God has done. All right, so we will remember God's testimonies, okay? We will remember the miracles. Point number two, and I'm going to close, wrap through with this one. We will remember his promises and the prophecies over our life. You have prophecies and you have prophecies over your life. It ain't done until it's done. And I want to see every prophecy come to pass over my life. I have so many prophecies. Some of them I've fulfilled, God's fulfilled. Some of them have yet to happen. Hey, I have a prophetic word from Pastor Jeff Johns that I read and listen to often. I have it both so I can hear it and I can watch it. I never thought about that, but I listen to it at times and I read it at times so my eyes can see it. And it's all about being strong in the Lord. And sometimes I'll be vulnerable, but it's a scripture that or a prophetic word that says, you are a man among men and a champion among champions. You know why God spoke that to me? Because a lot of times I don't feel that way. I get discouraged. And so God gave me a weapon, a prophetic weapon that I go to when I feel like I'm not doing or I'm not who I should be. Or if the Lord of the keep of my heart is trying, a different Lord is trying to come in and whisper thoughts in my ear that I am no good or I can't fulfill, I have a weapon. I have an arrow that I can look to. And the thing I love about it, the miracles and the testimonies sometimes are other people's. But prophecies over your life are your weapon. So I grab a hold of that weapon. I'm like, yeah, I may not feel like it, but the Lord spoke over me. Actually, in that same thing, he said, the Lord is well pleased with me, and I'm a man among men and a champion among champions. And I have to war with that. And so the scripture verse that goes with that, if you know 1 Timothy 1:18, you can look to it, you can listen. It says, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. And that's what I have to do. You know, there's a few people I know I've texted different ones over this season. And, you know, one comes to mind. I'm not going to give names, but I remember texting one day. I felt like to say, you're a great mom. Listen, you could take that as just my encouragement, or you could take that as like a prophetic declaration over your life. For when you think you suck as a mom, you could pull that out and go, no, the word that somebody spoke over me, I am a great mom. And you begin to war with that. 1 Timothy 1:18 and 19 says, this is the Passion Translation. So Timothy, my son, I am entrusting you with this responsibility. Did you hear that? I am entrusting you with this responsibility. So it's like, again, go back to my original analogy where you show up and you're like, I don't dribble. I don't play basketball. Well, I'm on the team, but I don't actually bounce the ball. well, you got to take a shot. No, I don't actually. No, he's entrusting you with the ball. So if your teammates pass it to you and they're entrusting you with the ball, you got to do something with it. And he says, I'm entrusting you with this responsibility in keeping the very first prophecies that were spoken over your life and are now in the process of fulfillment in this great work of ministry, in keeping with the prophecies spoken over you. With this encouragement, use your prophecies as weapons as you wage spiritual warfare by faith and with a clean conscience. I love that. I love the fact that he's not getting that out and shoving it in other people's face. It's a spiritual weapon that he's using, and he's telling the ruler that's trying to get into his keep. So the ruler of fear, the ruler of discouragement, the ruler of disappointment, the ruler of it's all going to hell, the ruler of the end is here, all those things. No, I'm going to use the prophecies and I'm going to begin to say, no, it's not over yet. No, no. God wants my way prosperous. My finances will do better. I'm going to do better in this season than I've ever done before. We're going to come out of this better. We're going to come out of this stronger. See, that's spiritual warfare and taking every thought captive. We're getting out the enemy that's trying to get into our keep or our heart, and we're putting back on the altar, back on the throne, sorry, we're putting the right person back on the throne, Jesus Christ. Listen, Jesus never walked around going, oh, it's all, we're done, we're done. No, he walked around with such hope. That's why people wanted to be around him. Just one more story and then I'm going to end. Is this making sense? I know, listen, I know we've talked about it, but this is the time, man, to get your jerseys on. This is the time to lace up your shoes. This is the time to start getting the basketball out and dribbling, because this is what we do as Christians. We take what we learn and we do something with it. Amen? If you're with me, somebody say amen or type in, I'm with you. All right. Turn to Matthew 3, verse 17. You guys know this too, but it's so important that we identify what was happening. Matthew 3, verse 17. Wrap it up with this and then give you a little task. Matthew 3, verse 17. This is when Jesus is baptized. He goes and John the Baptist baptizes him. And he comes out of the water. And this is the voice he hears. Verse 17. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Did you hear that? This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Why do I say that? Turn a little farther, Matthew 4:1-4. Actually, you don't have to turn, it's right there. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. And now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Did you hear that? If you are the Son of God. Did you know that Jesus had a prophecy to stand on? His Father speaks from heaven and says, you are my Son in whom I'm well pleased. And he gets to stand on it. And when the devil comes to try to dethrone God and become God, put himself on the throne and actually trying to get Jesus to do it out of order, what does he do? He takes his prophetic word, literally what Paul was telling Timothy. He takes his prophetic word and he's like, no, 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 you're trying to tempt me if I'm the Son. He already knew he was the Son. He had the prophetic word to stand on. And then he goes through, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but in every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You know what I love about that? He doesn't even give him the time of day of whether he's the Son. He doesn't go, listen, I'm the Son of God. No, he doesn't even acknowledge it. Because he heard the Father say, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. So awesome. I wrote down a few things, you know, real quick. Romans 8:15. For you do not receive, you know, if you're wondering, sorry, if you don't have a prophetic word and you're like, what promises? Well, here's some promises to inherit. For you do not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. You have a promise that you're adopted and God's your daddy. Romans 8:35 and 37-39, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Verse 37, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors. You have a promise that you're more than a conqueror. You have a promise that you can do all things in Christ. I know we just say it, but do we believe it? more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. If you feel alone and you don't feel God's love, so that's the enemy trying to come in and get on that throne in your heart and try to tell you. He wants to speak into your ear and just begin to influence you. You need to take every thought captive and go, no, that's not true. Because it says, nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. That's the truth. That's the truth. So church, I'm not trying to preach at you. I have to do this all the time. Honestly, I'm the one that on like this, I'm not, this is the very thing that I'm working on in my life. When I get discouraged all day yesterday, and it came easy yesterday. You know why it came easy yesterday? Because it was sunny out. Isn't it easier when it's sunny to be able to give thanks and be grateful? But all day I'm cutting the grass. I'm like, Lord, I'm thank you that I can cut the grass in this season. I'm thank you. I'm doing some work at home. I'm thank you that I can use a sledgehammer right now. I just began to be very grateful. I thank you for the sun that is heating me up. And there's other days when I begin to go, what am I doing? Oh my gosh, am I even qualified to do this? Well, that's the next level. I need to go from gratefulness to take every thought captive. And I have to begin to literally, some days I do it and some days I let the enemy get on my throne. And I have to begin to go, no, that is not true. And I begin to use my prophetic words in war with them. So I say today, we shall remember. What are you going to remember? You're going to remember testimonies and miracles and prophetic words and promises. These are the things that you need to remember right now when you get discouraged. We're a church of hope. So listen, if you're going to come to me and tell me hopeless things, I don't want to hear it. Because the third point that I really didn't get to is, what are you letting into your ear? Like I said, if you're watching the news and people are telling you doom and gloom all the time, listen, church, if you have videos you want to send me, and even more now because you're like, but you don't know, don't send it to me. Honestly, don't send it to me. Because I'm full of hope for the future, and I'd rather stay in the place of hope. I'd rather stay in the place of victory. I'd rather stay in the belief that as people of God, we are here on this earth and God wants to make things better. And God wants to use you and I to do it. Because the minute we start to get a fatality, this is it, then you stop being a solutionary. You stop bringing the possibility to bring even cures and even things for the future. Now I'm saying I'm sticking around and I'm going to see great things happen. All right. A call to action. This is what I want you to do. I would encourage you today, based on the word of God that I preached, first thing you would do is at your dinner table tonight, talk about the miracles with yourself, like with your spouse. If you still have kids at home, start to tell the miracles that God has done in your life or other people's lives. And I have a hunch we got a bunch that are being typed up. Begin to talk about the miracles so your kids know that God is still a miracle worker. Because if we don't talk about it, they're going to forget. And then I have this challenge. I would love for somebody to take a challenge to make a memorial of remembrance. What does that look like? I don't know. You know, it could be sticky notes on a wall of everything that God's done. It could be, I've seen the kids, my kids do it too. They have a clothesline and they write things and they stick it with a clothes hanger on their line in their rooms. And most times it's just pictures. But what if on one of our walls in our house, we began to collect testimonies and wrote them down and we put them on that clothesline. We put them on sticky pads or you put them, I love the Bonnie's got a whiteboard and they always have really bad jokes, but they're great. And good things like that. But what if whiteboards became a memorial, a remembrance of all that God's done? So when we get discouraged, we just have to walk to this memorial and go, yeah, but look at all God did. God healed me. I used to be deaf. He healed me. Like these are things that we write down and we go, this is our God. And we will remember. Awesome. You want to share a few? All right. We have an instruction. So guys, I bless you. Write out your prophetic words. That was another thing. Call to action. If you have prophetic words that you have not written out yet or you don't have them available, you need to write them out and you need to look at them daily. All right, church, we love you. We thank you with all our technical difficulties today. I hope all went well. We bless you. Thank you guys for tuning in. If you're new, please give us a shout. Type, you know, hey, first time watching, you know, something like that. I'd love to connect with you. And we thank you. Church, rise up. Be full of life. We love you. We bless you. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.